Tonight on the Goblin's Corner, we review
Call of Cthulhu.
That's how we roll.
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 Welcome to the Goblin's Corner. My name is Eric.
And I'm Matt.
And we are on part three of our Halloween review series.
Yes, indeed.
So we are reviewing five games for Halloween that we think that you guys would have a good time playing. Some of these are games that you've probably heard of or have already played. Some of these games are some that you haven't heard of and you may never have played. But we think these would be great for Halloween. They're lots of fun. And tonight we're reviewing Call of Cthulhu.
Ah, yes. The Eldritch Horror Classic.
Man, this is a great game. We've played this game. It's been a long time since I've played Call of Cthulhu. In fact, I had to really go back and read all the rules again because it's been so long. But the story behind Call of Cthulhu is really interesting. And of course, everybody knows Cthulhu mythos. I mean, it's pretty much ubiquitous now in...
I think so. Yes, but I mean, there's a TV show, or what is it, Netflix, that has
Lovecraft
Country?
Lovecraft Country, yeah. I've seen an episode. It's pretty good. I need to watch the rest of it soon. You haven't seen it.
I have not.
I'm just going ahead and answering for you because I know that if it's something that's been out for at least 5 years, you probably haven't seen it.
That's fairly accurate.
Okay. But Cthulhu Mythos is around. Obviously, it's based off of the H.P. Lovecraft works, although Call of Cthulhu is somewhat loosely based off of that, right? It's not
It's based off of the story of the same name.
Okay. But that's about where the line is drawn. And then there's a lot of eldritch horror monsters in there. I mean, it's pretty much what
they
you would expect
they
it
use
to be.
the Cthulhu bestiary.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's lots of tentacles.
Shoggoths and...
Yeah, lots of goths in it.
Yes.
Nothing but goths. So let's talk a little bit about the world and what you might be playing.
Certainly. Well, it's set in 1920s, so you're going to have your... You can have your mobsters, you can have your... There was an occult upsurgence then.
Mm-hmm.
There's anything you can think of... Your private investigators, you know, film noir style, all of that stuff is available.
Yeah, I think the last time I played anything Call of Cthulhu, it was a very film noir motif with a little bit of Egyptology thrown into it as well.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, you know, we've reviewed two other horror games. We reviewed Deadlands and Dread. And so for Deadlands, we had kind of the Wild West horror. Dread is just straight up.
Yep, whatever you want.
Yeah, whatever you want horror. And this is more of, like the things people were not meant to know. The horror behind the reality type. And noir horror, I guess, is the best way to describe it.
That's what it is. There's versions of it that are set in 1890s. That's Call of Cthulhu by Gaslight. It's also set in London.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other versions of it. There was a modern one that was made.
It's Cthulhu Now.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, and we also wrote some stuff down. We had 1000 AD, Cthulhu Dark Ages, the 23rd century, Cthulhu Rising, the Roman times, Cthulhu Invictus. And these are just the ones that we have heard of. There's a lot of other versions. And Cthulhu's on, like, version, what, 7th edition now?
Yeah, and realistically, they're on 18th edition, but most of them were such minor changes that they eventually collapsed those. So there, it is now called Cthulhu 7th edition, despite the fact that there were many reprints in between that had different edition names and titles.
Sure. But essentially, regardless of whatever it is, it's Cthulhu mythos.
Mm-hmm.
So you're able to fight monsters, do a little bit of noir horror, which is what I expect, unless you're doing some of the other settings.
Right.
And solve some mysteries, right?
Absolutely.
So let's talk a little bit about the protagonist and the antagonist in this system.
As far as protagonists go, you're always going to be a human, right? This is set in real world.
So there's not going to be any strange other creatures or races or heritages that you might have.
Nope. Simple human. You're also going to be an investigator. Now, an investigator is just the catch-all name for the player characters in Call of Cthulhu. You will eventually, as you go through the character creation process, pick an occupation, but for the purposes of this exercise, you are an investigator.
Okay, that makes sense. You can, in addition to discovering stuff in the real world, you can also go to other realities too, because that's the thing about the Cthulhu mythos is that there's horrors from other planes of existence. Yep. So there's the spaces between the worlds. I think there's what the dreamlands, if that's what it's called. Yeah. And that can only be accessed through dreams. So it's the space in your mind, and you can go to other planets.
The voids. Depending on the short story, the cats can tell you how to get there.
Sure. Why not? Yeah. Stuff in between the walls and stuff, all kinds of crazy eldritch horrors. It's a fun, it's an interesting world because it's definitely not one of, it can be a hack and slash game, but it's really more of like murder mystery type, the suspense building horror game.
As it's definitely should be. The lethality of combat and the Call of Cthulhu system does not lend itself well to a hack and slash game unless you really enjoy making characters.
Okay. So combat is what you're saying is pretty lethal.
Yes.
Makes sense. Let's talk a little bit about the dice system before we get into combat and stuff.
Sure. The dice system is simple-ish. It is a percentile-based system. As far as everything but damage goes, all your skill checks, all of your characteristics, which would be your stats or attributes, all of those checks are percentile-based. And you have to roll under your attribute or skill to get that to make a success.
And this is someone who's brought up on percentile dice systems because, you know, I cut my teeth on Marvel Universe and such.
Yeah.
A lot of people may not understand what we're talking about when we talk about percentile dice and successes and stuff. Let's maybe give an example about that.
Okay. So let's say you want to shoot this mafia boss.
Mm-hmm. Got my gun. I'm ready to go.
Right. You must roll under whatever the attribute for firearm is. So let's say 50. Anything you roll that is under a 50
is a success.
Is a success. And anything you roll over a 50
is not a success.
Is a failure.
Sure.
If you roll very, very high, then you basically botched your roll and bad things can happen.
And if you roll very, very low, then you have succeeded. But, and depending upon how you play with the house rules and stuff, sometimes more good things happen, but usually I think it's just a success, right?
Well, no. And in Call of Cthulhu, the lower you roll, the better your success is. You'll get bonus dice or effects that increase how well you do or what you know or whatever you're aiming for.
Okay. And as you gain in experience and level and stuff like that, the way that you roll successes will change. And of course, there's environment conditions which may lower or raise your percentage chance to hit something. But it basically all is on 100% whether something succeeds or not within that realm. Now, what that means is that instead of, and I'm just making a wild guess, a lot of people who are listening probably play stuff with target numbers.
Yes.
So we're going the higher number, the harder something is. In percentage dice-based systems, it's either higher or lower, but it's always within that realm of 100%. And so what happens is that the percentage doesn't get easier. It's not like, oh, well, now that I've leveled up, now everything is easy because I can roll lower on the percentage base. It just means that the scale kind of slides back and forth depending upon what you're capable of doing versus what you were a couple, I want to say levels, but a couple of experience points back.
Right. And in the case of Call of Cthulhu, you spend experience to increase your attributes or your skills.
But you don't actually level in Call of Cthulhu.
So. Correct.
Yeah. Cool. All right. So we can play humans or investigators is the quote unquote class.
Right.
They're delving into the dark. We've got a couple of, we understand the dice system in terms of, okay, it's this percentage chance to succeed and you've got to roll under that. Lowest roll gets you better stuff. Now we talk about a little bit about the attributes because the attributes are a little different too.
Yes. Well, in Call of Cthulhu, they're known as characteristics, which is their analog for attributes.
Sure.
If you're used to the standard six of D&D, this is going to have
strength, con, dex, int, wiz, cha.
Right. In this case, You've got strength, con, and dex. All of those are ones you're going to recognize, but you also have power, appearance, size, intelligence, and education.
That's interesting. So you could be intelligent but lowly educated.
Yes.
You could be powerful but small.
Yes.
And all of them have distinct advantages and disadvantages of each.
Yes. As well, there are secondary stats, and those are luck, magic points, damage bonus slash build, hit points, and possibly most importantly,
sanity. Yeah. And this is where really the game comes into play as the Eldritch Horror, because you've got a sanity score. And if you lose your mind, guess what? You've lost yourself to the madness. So sanity is definitely important. One of the things I love about this game is I like games with luck attributes. And you and I have talked about this before offline many times.
Yeah.
There's just something about, this is just a random attribute that lets me have good or bad things happen to it.
In the case of Call, the luck attribute is the only attribute you can spend. And so you have, when you start the game, you roll 3d6 times 5. That's your luck attribute, right? Mm-hmm. Those are points that you can spend to decrease your roll on certain rolls. However, it doesn't reset. You have to rebuy those points or get them through gaming or what have you. The problem with that is, if I then, let's say you've spent 15 of your luck points, and then I ask for a luck roll, well, you've spent 15 of those points. So now your chances of succeeding that luck roll are significantly less than they would have been otherwise.
Run out of luck.
Yep. You can literally be out of luck in this game.
Which can be, there's some strategy to conserve your luck, because you never know when you're going to need it, but then there's the point where sometimes you're going to have to spend some luck just to survive with your character.
Absolutely. So. That for me, in playing, I think my strategy primarily would be, if I was a couple of points off of a success or a couple of points off of a better success, that's when I'd be spending it. If I have to spend like 20 points just to eke a success off of it, nah, that's probably not wise.
Let's talk a little bit about the magic in Call of Cthulhu. We've got magic points, obviously, and that allows you to go into...
Okay, so magic in Call of Cthulhu is spells or items or things that you pick up generally as you play. You do not start off, unless, obviously, if you speak with your game master about it, then that's one thing. But usually those are things you have to find.
And this is different from a lot of game systems, because in many games, you start off as some sort of magic user.
Right.
Whereas this is something that's gained through gameplay. And that, one of the things I find interesting about this is, A, it means everybody starts off as a mundane,
yeah,
for one. And B, it means that magic is incredibly useful and incredibly hoarded.
Yes.
Because it may not show up. It's like in, I want to say 5th edition, because magic items in 5th edition are, compared to 3rd edition, are... It's
relatively rare.
Yeah, they're pretty scarce compared to like the magic shop mentality of 3rd edition in D&D. And so you know, this, it doesn't matter what it could be, whether it's minor or major, it's probably going to find a use. And so you're kind of hoarding a lot of that stuff.
That's true. However, when it comes to spells and grimoires and what have you, keep in mind, nearly everything has a cost.
Yeah, so we get back to the Eldritch Horror once again. You might be able to cast that spell, but it might cost you with insanity. It might cost you with some kind of corruption physically, or it might take a toll on your health.
Yep. Generally, sanity is the go-to cost for things. And the more you take sanity damage, the more likely you are to go insane, obviously. But not just that. Every time you do go insane, the longer it takes to get re-sane. It's a fun system, but you have to understand that it is definitely a system that is designed as a horror system. You should not be expecting there to be a bright, sunshiny, rainbow ending to this story. That's not the purpose here.
Right. Now, we also need to mention in character creation that we also have occupation.
Oh, yes. When you pick your occupation, it is what provides you with the 8 skills that you get to start your character. Now, there are suggestions in the quick start guide and in the books, but it is just 8 skills. So
you can freely pick them if you want. And
right.
That further gives you a little bit of fluidity in creating a character that's more in line with whatever story the GM's trying to run.
Well, there's certainly that, but it also, you know, as long as you can sit down and make reasonable assumptions, like if you were a soldier and that's not one of the things you normally would get, okay, you're going to get the firearm skill. You're going to get the hand-to-hand skill. Just make logical assumptions about what it is that your character ought to know about and pick 8 of them and you're set.
Yeah. So playing the game is pretty straightforward. It's set the storyline, the storyteller, GM, sets everything up and introduces the characters. A lot of times I've found it starts with some crime that you're investigating or some kind of strange occurrence.
Yes.
And then grab your torch or flashlight, go down into the deep, dark recesses of the human condition, find all kinds of mad people and monsters and strange dreams and such.
Absolutely.
Now, leveling is a bit interesting as well.
If you're used to a non-skill buy or non-spending experience system, then yeah, it's very counterintuitive to what people think of if they're used to playing Dungeons & Dragons or Pathfinder or games like that. But if you're used to playing World of Darkness or Shadowrun or any of those games, this system's going to be relatively simple for you. You spend your experience to
increase your attributes, increase your skills.
Yep.
And you go up. And overall, it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
There's lots of different books as well. So we mentioned a few of the game settings, but there's Monstrous Compendiums for Call of Cthulhu. There's, all kinds of settings. I mean, it's been around for a long time.
The game has been around since the 80s.
Yeah, so it's been around for a long time. That gives a rich world that either can be adapted. In fact, I think there's even a D20 version of Call of Cthulhu.
I'm sure. I know there is. Yes. Yeah.
And I'm sure there's a version of every other world.
Sure.
I wouldn't be surprised. Playing it's fun.
Yeah.
It's great. Get yourself some theme music.
Some mood lighting.
Yeah, some mood lighting. Go find some absinthe. Make yourself a nice cocktail.
Yeah.
Drink some gin.
Yeah. A little bathtub gin.
Break it out. It's time. It's a fun game to play.
For me, it is definitely a game that the storyteller really, really gets to stretch his ability to, or her ability, to draw a picture, right? To set a mood and a tone. Because this is not something where you can say, you in a 10x10 room, there's a monster in it.
Yeah.
No.
Want to set tapestries on the wall, betray some kind of strange alien geometry, and go into all the depths of the descriptions. And this is something where it can make or break the game if the storyteller is either good or bad at this.
Yes.
I would say more so than, say, like a D&D game, if you're new at this. Definitely get some storytelling chops to play Call of Cthulhu. Not because I don't want to dissuade anybody from trying to pick this up and play it, because it's totally doable. But spend the moment to get a lot of really enriching descriptions, because this is definitely a lot of theater of the mind type stuff where you're trying to visualize. I want to say the way I look at it is paint everything with a brush that's inked. Like everything is in dark overtones and such. You know, the light never brightens the room. It only makes more shadows.
Right.
That kind of thing.
I think one of the best ways, if you are a storyteller or if you're a new storyteller and you want to start here, go to Google, look up images, and spend some time trying to describe what it is you're seeing. Yeah. To the point where if you read or heard that description, you'd be able to have the picture of what you've got in front of you in your head.
Absolutely.
And do that a few times and go through and look at some of the images from French catacombs and, you know, old Gothic churches, yeah, things
like Gothic horror in general.
Yeah. Anything that can be creepy or shrouded in shadows, anything like that. Just take a look at some pictures and try to describe them.
And if you're playing in the main setting, which is the 1920s, go look up some stuff about Private Eyes, Gumshoes. Yep.
Film noir.
Yeah, any film noir stuff, murder mysteries. Go watch some of the Maltese Falcon movies. You know,
yeah.
Any Humphrey Bogart.
Cagney and Lacey.
Yeah, any of those. Because that's that world as well. And honestly, and it really doesn't, even go see the movie Naked Lunch, which is kind of in the same, I think it's actually 30s or 40s, but still, it's, you know, dudes in suits finding weird shit, right? Yep. And that's, I mean, it's kind of, it's not as horror, it's more wacky, but still.
But the concept stands.
The concept still stands for that stuff. Pros and cons. Pros, I'd say, rich world.
Yeah.
Lots of books to get sources from.
Absolutely.
Lots of fun imagery as a storyteller to really get the characters involved.
Yep.
Cons, not as hack and slashy as most of your games.
Yeah, if you are in for a, it's all adventure in some way or another. But if you're in for an action-packed adventure, this may not be the game for you.
Yeah. Also, again, this is the 1920s where the main one takes place, so could be some sensitive subjects.
Problematic themes.
Yeah.
And, can, you know, crop up.
Lovecraft also was a not
was
a great,
a terrible person.
He was a bigot. So there could be some sensitive subjects.
Absolutely.
Now, obviously, if you're a smart storyteller, what do? You fixate on the stuff that works.
Absolutely. And you session zero it first foremost.
What's appropriate? What's not?
Yeah.
Go with it. Also, there's 1890s, so you could go a different motif. You could go to the future. So you could play around a little bit with that. But yeah, it can be, you know, it's, there's a little bit of stigma with that. And you got to either work through that or don't play this game. I mean, that's part of the thing.
I mean, and the fact of the matter is because of the scenarios that are involved here, you can completely ignore some of those problematic issues. They just don't have to come up. I mean, end of the day, it doesn't have to be part of your world. You're running it.
Yep. Overall, though, we think it's a good game to play. Nice horror type stuff. If you're looking for like a film noir type horror game to play, this is a good game.
Yeah, it's solid front and back.
This is a game that you can jump in, you can play it. Rules are fairly easy to learn, and it's great for storytelling.
That does remind me, though. The quick start guide is free from Chaosium. So you can actually download it, take a look at the quick start guide, read through it, and find out whether or not it interests you before you even purchase the book.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to bring up a heritage from Eldritch Dream Games.
If there are any topics you would like us to cover, goods or services you would like us to review, or if you would like to sponsor an episode, we would love for you to contact us at info@goblinscorner.com.
And we're back.
Welcome back.
Hey, Matt, have you ever decided that you just didn't feel like living and wanted to play an undead character?
No.
No?
No.
Well,
I mean, other than playing vampire.
Or if you wanted to play an evil campaign. Or maybe you just wanted...
No, that's you.
Well, yeah. Or maybe you just wanted to come back as a character that was pissed off.
Yes.
Okay. We've got the Pathfinder Heritage for you, given to us by our buddies at Eldritch Dream Games. We have Necrid Heritage. Let's talk a little bit about the Necrid Heritage that we have.
All right. So to start off with, you died. See, that's what happened.
Yep. Either through disease or something happened
violence,
to you.
Violence,
whatever.
Fell off a ladder.
Negative energy. Anything.
Sure. You died.
Scalping Braves tickets.
Could have been.
Could have been. Anything could have happened. But the one thing in common is that prior to the death, you led a shitty life. You didn't do much.
Yeah. You're that guy over there.
So it's the premise for the TV series Dead Like Me.
Sure.
Okay.
I believe you.
Going with that. And yeah. No, you haven't seen it. It's a good series. You should watch that. Anyhow, the point is you come back alive, sort of. Now you're dead. You're the living dead, in fact. And this is a heritage you can take at first level and become an undead player character.
Sure.
So let's talk a little bit about some of the stuff that you can actually do. First off, obviously, you're dead, so you don't need to breathe. Interestingly enough, though, you do get hungry, so you need to eat and drink, and you can die of that. But negative energy heals you. Positive energy doesn't.
As you'd expect.
As you'd expect, because you're dead.
Right.
And it's an interesting heritage to play. There's also feats, of course, because with heritages, you get all these different types of feats. It's almost a full ancestry in many ways, but it's not. And you can get things, for example, you become immune to death effects if you get like the Deathless Heart feat. You can eat the flesh of the living to heal yourself if you get a specific feat. So any of the type of typical undead and things you would acquire.
Right. And a lot of these stack on top of each other.
Sure.
Like for the forbidden hunger, where you can take a bite out of somebody that's alive and gain hit points back. Further, once you gain a few levels, you can eventually get to the point where you can eat corpses and gain health back.
Absolutely. And you can kind of, they've kind of got almost two paths I see in that you kind of can go skeletal or zombie-like.
Yep. What's your choice there? Skeleton or zombie?
I'm going skeletal, man.
Absolutely same. Yeah.
Chill. I'm chilling with the bones. In fact, I would say the burning bones feat at level 9 is definitely where I'm going. A necrid burning bones, you get resistance to fire equal to your level. You get to deal fire damage. I mean, you're a skeleton on fire. I don't care what you are at that point. What character class? Doesn't matter. I'm a skeleton on fire. And another good thing about this, these feats, these ancestry feats, is you can be whatever ancestor you want.
Yeah.
You want to come back as a goblin? I'm a skeletal goblin that's pissed off and on fire. You want to be a human? You want to be an elf? No problem. It doesn't really matter because you're just a dead corpse at that point anyway.
Right.
You just look a little different.
Yeah, your ancestry is whatever you were when you were alive.
Yep. You can become a putrid zombie. You can throw your skull, I think.
What is this one? Oh, I'm scrolling down for funness. Screaming Head.
That's the one where you can throw your head.
Oh, I missed that one.
Yeah, you didn't see that?
No, I must have scrolled past it.
Take your head and chuck it at an enemy and bite him in the face. Now, if you want some comic relief, this is perfect.
Yeah.
In addition to that, Elder's Dream Games has also given you the ability to play more of a hardcore mode, because normally if you get dropped down to 0 hit points as an undead, you're fucked. You're dead.
Right.
You're destroyed. In this case, if you take all of the feats, or you get more of like the typical player character when he drops down to...
Right,
you're still
a standard character in that manner.
Yeah, you still have to eat and drink.
Yep.
I don't think you need rest. No, you still need to rest as well, because you have a mind. But you can play hardcore mode with this character, in which case you are straight up, you get all the stats of the undead, so you don't have to eat and drink, you don't have to rest.
You're immune to death effects, poisoning, paralysis. Hunger, thirst.
But you can be probably turned.
Yep.
And obviously, if you get dropped to 0 hit points, bye-bye. Yeah, go make another character.
Unless there is a spell or effect that specifically prevents that, you're back to being a full-grown corpse.
Yeah, and I don't think there's a revivify in Pathfinder.
I don't know. Is there a delay death? Because that would be something that you're really going to want as this character.
Yeah, that might be useful as well. Talk to your GM about this part.
Yes.
But this is a fun, interesting choice to play for a character. You guys want to play some undead? And that's one of the things that you don't see a lot in a traditional, especially like D&D or Pathfinder. You don't see a lot of, I want to play an undead. Oh, well, where are the rules for that? Well, now you got them. So go out there, get this game. In fact, where can they get this game, Matt?
They can get it at eldritchdreams.itch.io.
Yeah, itch.io.
Itch.io.
And they got a Patreon account?
They do. And that's patreon.com/eldritchdreams.
Eldritch Dream.
Eldritch Dream. I keep wanting to make more than
and
one.
And of course, you can hit them up on Twitter, Eldritch Dream.
Yeah. We've chatted with them a couple times. That's they seem like cool folks.
They give us lots of stuff.
Also, just real quick, this also provides you with a list of potions that act like healing potions for your character, since you can't take healing potions because they would murder you.
That's a good point, yes. Yeah.
But, I really appreciate Sean and all the stuff he sent us. You should definitely check this out if you have been interested in playing an undead PC in Pathfinder.
Absolutely. That's all the time we got for today. So we've gone over Cthulhu. Go download it, play some of it. Go check out
The Necrid with Eldritch Dream.
My name's Eric.
And I'm Matt.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye. In a world where the Goblin's Corner is by Matt Staples
and Eric Holden, show song by the mighty D20.
This has been a Subterranean production.
Coming soon.